The opinions expressed on this webmasterradio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of webmasterradio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.
Mobilizing your marketing efforts. Welcome to Mobile Presence. Discover the best practices for tracking and targeting mobile marketing. Our hosts will help you make the most out of the mobile web. Learn the latest in the world of mobile, web development, search, email marketing, text message marketing, and more. Leverage your mobile presence today. Now, prepare to get mobilized.
Hi, everybody. This is Cindy Crum. You're listening to Mobile Presence on webmasterradio.fm. Pleased to have a return guest this week on our show. His name is Andy Lustigman. I'm going to let him introduce himself, but he is, in my mind, one of the best resources in terms of the legal stuff related to mobile marketing. So go ahead and say hi, Andy.
Hi, Cindy. How you doing?
Fantastic. So what's new? Where are you at? It's a beautiful day in Denver.
Today I'm in beautiful northern New Jersey. Normally I'm in New York City at our offices, but today I'm in New Jersey. It's quite cold. Fall is quickly passing us through onto winter. So
what's in New Jersey?
I live here and I have an office here as well.
Oh, I see. Have the leaves started turning yet?
Yes, sir. Yes, definitely.
Is everything bright orange?
We're getting there. We're definitely
I lived in upstate New York, so I remember that pretty vividly.
That is a nice part of it.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a lot to cover because it's been a while since we've had you on the show. But first off, I know last week Bryson and I talked a lot about the T-Mobile debacle, and you have an update because all of this kind of went down last week, I guess, and maybe the week before a little bit, but there's already been a lawsuit filed. So can you just give us the quick and dirty on that? What's the update? What's the news?
Sure. With all troubles come the lawsuits. So, although the problem happened on October 1st, there is already two lawsuits filed styled as class actions against T-Mobile and Microsoft relating to the Sidekick crash. The lawsuits are in state court in. One's in California and one is in Washington, I believe. And essentially what the plaintiff is alleging on behalf of herself and all of others similarly situated is that T-Mobile represented to her that they would be backing up her data. And when the crash occurred and T-Mobile said that most of the personal information has been lost and may be irretrievable, she sued saying that the representation that the materials would be backed up was false and deceptive.
Now, who was this? This is a specific person?
A specific person, I believe in the California case, it was a Maureen Thompson who lives in Georgia.
Okay.
And she's filed the action in it's in federal court in California. She filed the case, and it's on behalf of herself, and it's actually on behalf of her daughter who was the Sidekick user.
None of these lawsuits were brought about by Perez Hilton, right? Who was a leader in the anger towards this. Did you follow any of that? Perez was all over Twitter. Really?
No, I don't believe Perez Hilton is part of this. But I tell you, I think while it's unfortunate that this data loss has occurred, and I think there's a footnote to that as well, I saw in the press that Microsoft looks like it has recovered most of the information, which is good. I think everyone should use their some common sense, and that is any time you have any electronic data, you need to back it up, and you need to back it up on your own.
The problem was the Sidekick made it really, really hard to back backup. That's what I had heard. Now, I had never tried or anything, but I've heard that it was very, very hard to get the data off the phone to back it up on your own. But obviously, that'll be in the works to help people out. And, you know, everyone got $100 off their bill, which to me, you know, if I lost my ability to call and text and do all the stuff that I need to do to get through the day, the $100 would be kind of a spit in the face or a slap in the face. Like, yeah, whatever. But anyway, okay. Well, so
to be determined. The cases have just been filed, so we'll see. We'll see how those play out.
Okay, good deal. I'm interested to see how they go. Okay, so now we have some real, actual marketing news. That's not just you know, fun poking at Microsoft and HTC. So you're going to give us updates on what the FCC has been up to and what the FTC has been up to. Is that right?
That is correct. The Federal Communications Commission, that's the FCC, who deals with the phone service aspect, opened, since we last spoke, a series of three inquiries into the mobile marketplace. They each year the FCC has been looking into essentially the competitiveness of the marketplace, but with the new administration, they've greatly expanded the inquiry, and they're focusing on three areas. One of them continues to be competition, but the competition aspect is not just how many cell phone carriers are there, but what the FCC here is looking at is the competition as it relates to, in part, what they call downstream applications, and those are the apps. We can talk a little bit further about that. They've also launched an inquiry into innovation and whether or not the climate continues for growing innovation in the mobile marketplace. And then what I think is most interesting for marketers, they've launched an inquiry into what's known as truth in billing, which truth in billing is typically how your phone bill appears, but the FCC is looking to go well beyond that and looking into essentially false advertising issues and the like.
I know that's been a huge deal because that was kind of how mobile marketing started a lot, was with a lot of people who are kind of ripping you off, like selling you a subscription, but you didn't know it was a subscription, and so you kept getting charges tacked on your bill, right?
Well, there certainly have been a number of issues with respect to people, whether or not there's been sufficient disclosures as to charges and the like with the bills. Is always the battle of the spaces and whether or not you have enough characters to give sufficient disclosures. But what's interesting here, and why don't we take that one last, because I think that it is for marketers the most interesting, is that the FCC, which really does not get involved typically involved in advertising practices. Usually those types of activities, they defer to the Federal Trade Commission, the Federal Trade Commission being the leading federal regulatory body for interstate advertising. But here the FCC is looking at whether or not people, when they order various services, are getting sufficient information. So they're looking at it, I think, in two parts. Number one, are people getting enough information in order to choose the right phone, meaning are they getting the right service plan or the right provider or managing and using their plan and the like. But also, I think more importantly, they're looking at what's known as cramming. And cramming are the activities that you were describing, is that people are getting charged for services that they didn't appreciate that they ordered. In other words, being charged an additional fee.
Okay.
And here, as part of the truth in billing, the FCC inquiry, the FCC is saying, what lessons can we learn from other agencies as it deals with cramming? And specifically, they've asked the Federal Trade Commission to provide information as to their experience in dealing with fraud and how they may make billing disclosures clearer to identify potential cramming. And they've also asked state authorities, in particular and expressly the state of Florida, which has really been the leader in addressing mobile marketing billing, and they've asked for information from them, from the state, as to their experiences on billing issues with respect to consumers who have ordered either knowingly or unknowingly services that are then being charged on their cell phone.
Okay. Now, I have a quick question, and then we have to break. And the question is, and maybe this is just silly, but does that include when they bill you for things like turning off a service? Like, I remember on my traditional home phone, I turned off long distance because I never used it. And so instead of, you know, charging me for long distance, they charged me $5 a month to disable long distance. Is that cramming?
I don't think that's really cramming. That I think is more of that's potentially
being
cramming.
A jerk.
But cramming is more when you would order a subscription service to your phone. There's various enhanced services that you can get. Like, for example, some people use a third party voicemail provider. Voicemail service could appear on your phone bill, or you may there are various products and services that you can get, and you can order that to your phone. And let's say it's in the context of mobile, various ringtones or ringbacks. You know, you could get a subscription each month. You're going to get an option to get 5 different ringbacks, and you get billed $9.95. Do people have sufficient disclosures and understanding with respect to this service that they've ordered that they're getting charged for on their phone bill? And I think that's what in part the FCC here is focusing on.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk more about stuff going on, the inquiries with the FCC, but also the FTC and stuff that's going to affect social media and mobile together. So you're listening to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm with me, Cindy Crum, and today talking to Andy Lustigman. We'll be right back.
Mobile Presence will be back after we connect you to our sponsors.
Your company's website sucks.
You know it. Everybody knows it.
So get a to-do list to fix it.
OnTarget, a subscription service from FutureNow and Brian Eisenberg, monitors your website 24/7.
Analyzing the actions of every potential customer.
It gives you a to-do list. It tells you exactly what to fix and how to fix it.
So that more of your visitors do
what you need them to do.
OnTarget pricing starts at $1,000 a month.
See more at futurenowinc.com/OnTarget.
FriendFinder, the world's largest online dating network, featuring over 100 million profiles at hot sites such as Passion.com and FastCupid.com, represents enormous profit-making opportunities for webmasters just like you. With FriendFinder's ability to geo-target and provide billing solutions in most languages and currencies, you are sure to find our comprehensive network to be a good friend to your wallet. Get more traffic-maximizing details now at FriendFinder.com.
Hey, have you got the number for Jerry's Pizza?
Look it up on LocalPages.com.
LocalPages.com. Well, what if I wanted a business number in Miami?
LocalPages.com.
Can people find your business online? Be seen with LocalPages.com on every local listing in all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, MSN, and Ask. With over 6 billion quality searches a month and bids starting as low as 1 cent, get connected with local consumers at the exact moment that they're looking for you.
San Francisco, Green Bay, London.
I told you. LocalPages.com.
List your business on LocalPages.com now and get $100 in free local advertising. LocalPages.com, bringing your neighborhood to you.
LPO, Landing Page Optimization. Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the advertising channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Mobilizing your marketing efforts. Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are your hosts.
Hi, everybody. This is Cindy Crum, and you're listening to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. I'm here with Andy Lustigman, and we are talking about FCC and FTC changes that are affecting mobile marketing right now. So we were just talking about one of the inquiries that the FCC is doing. It turns out the FCC is in the midst of 3 inquiries, and we just got finished talking about one that affects billing, and what you were talking about was cramming, how some of it affects a lot of different aspects of billing, but in mobile marketing, mostly it's the people who are selling subscriptions to people who don't realize they're signing up for subscriptions, and they're calling that cramming. Is that right?
Right, but also it's the legitimate marketers. There's an issue as is the government, should they step in here? Should the Federal Communications Commission step in here? Are they going to create a process that is too cumbersome for legitimate businesses to offer their services? So it's really something that needs to be watched very closely.
Right.
I might say that the deadline for submitting comments, initial comments on this, just passed. In fact, I think it just recently passed, with reply comments due on October 30th. So if people are interested, take a look at the FCC docket. Comments are public. And if they want to put in responsive comments to that, now is the time.
Are you doing that? Can we look up your responses?
I have not put in comments in this particular area. On the FCC matter, I did put in comments.
Oh, okay. All right, so let's talk about the other two FCC inquiries, because those are interesting, too. So moving back in order, you first listed them. The next one is competition. So this one affects apps, which are obviously really hot right now. So what's the deal with that?
It's a very interesting inquiry, because typically this inquiry has focused on, is there sufficient choice out there for consumers? So there are enough mobile phone companies out there that consumers have an opportunity, and they'd be competing for price and the like, and competing for your business. What I find fascinating about the competition inquiry is, in addition to questions with respect to that, the FCC is looking at having any comments from software developers and companies that sell mobile phone applications as to whether or not there is sufficient competition for them to get their apps out there. In other words, is someone able to get their app on another on a particular network, or are there restrictions with that? And this is a very sensitive topic. Obviously, there's one carrier in particular that many people want to have their apps on, and some of the apps would allow you to avoid the phone system. There are certain Google programs and Skype and the like that allow people to avoid using the phone system.
And okay, so I'm going to put it on out there. You're clearly talking about the iPhone and voice over IP type of options. Is that right? Am I reading this correctly?
No, you're sure you are. and there's a real question as to sufficient competition. Now, if you think about it with respect to certain computer companies, the FCC may not have jurisdiction to regulate their business practices, because they're not in the phone providing mobile services. However, there is an issue with respect to regulating the carriers and whether or not a carrier can restrict or reject a mobile app.
Now so hold on, because I think this, to me, begs a bigger question, and maybe you see this coming, and maybe it's a silly question, but in my mind, I travel a lot, and I know that the United States is unique in that the phones are linked and locked directly to the carrier in a lot of cases. And so to me, the applications that are being limited by the App Store, partially, you're saying that they're limited to the network, but they're really just limited to the phone, kind of, because, I mean, de facto, the network, because the phone is only on one network. But do you think this opens up that question? Is it okay to limit handsets to one network, or is that a totally separate issue to you?
Well, no. You know, listen. I think that's the question, right? That many experts think that you can't. That there wouldn't be a way to say, look, there isn't enough competition because the coolest phone is only on one network.
Right.
And I'm not saying one phone is cooler than the other, but that's the argument, right?
Sure.
So the question is, though, you know, is this because a particular phone is on one network and the hot phone is on a particular network? Is that really a complete lack of competition such that the federal government would need to step in? It probably isn't, because what the federal government is looking at is really, is there sufficient choice for consumers?
Right.
And certainly there's enough phones out there, different phone choices and phone service, that competition exists. However, if there are apps that are not being able to get out there because some people act as a gatekeeper and are blocking it, that may in fact impede competition.
Sure.
And so while there might not be any way to say, well, this doesn't, there isn't a limitation on competition. The situation may be, particularly when you get to these services, there may be a different issue there. And I think there's a recognition of this by, there seems to be some movement with respect to one of the Google apps, I think just recently got put on.
But on the same token, I definitely see both sides of the story because, you know, you're not going to say who it is, but I'll say straight out, the Apple and the App Store, they have a business to run. And, you know, it's their business. They can do with it what they want. I see both sides, but to some degree, they should be able to limit what apps are sold on their platform and which are not. Now, the one thing is, a lot of people don't realize you don't. If you have an application for an iPhone, you don't actually have to sell it on the App Store. You can sell it directly off your website or whatever. You can have the download available outside of the App Store, but most people don't even realize that. So maybe it's
that's the issue. Cindy, you're very bright, and that's the issue. That's exactly the issue.
And so that's
the question that the government needs to evaluate, and does the government say, you know, you're right. This is America, and businesses are entitled to conduct business the way they want. Kudos to Apple for coming out with a great phone, with a great app process. Kudos to AT&T for making an exclusive phone deal. Is that something that the government really needs to step in on? I mean, that's the contrary argument.
We haven't given enough time for the market to mature, because soon enough there's going to be a competitor that links into your phone just as nicely as the App Store does, that maybe is more transparent about what it takes to get in and out of the store, or, you know, how things are ranked and rated and things like that. I mean, that's what I would hope. And that's the risk that we take by pursuing a case like this, or, you know, saying that there's no competition when we just haven't given it enough time for competition to happen.
Yeah, it's fair. You've hit the nail right on the head. And I think, look, the other issue is really as to the types of apps, and whether or not your listeners may be familiar with what's known as the net neutrality debate, and that is, can the broadband carriers restrict as to what applications and peer-to-peer video sharing and the like can appear on their network, or they just have to accept it. It seems like a similar debate is going to come out here.
I've been drawing that parallel for a while. People don't really understand why I care about net neutrality in terms of mobile, but I think it's crucial, because the carriers are using proxies to block things and not telling us, you know, when we're surfing on our mobile phone.
Mm-hmm. No, you're not wrong, and it's the net neutrality debate is a very interesting and a very important debate, because I agree with you, and I think it applies to both. It obviously translates to mobile.
Right. Okay, now we're going to have to take one more break, and then we'll come back. We'll finish talking about the FCC, and we'll talk quickly on the FTC. This is a great show, and actually, I think I want to have you back to talk about net neutrality at some point, but more about that later. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Mobile Presence on webmasterradio.fm.
Mobile Presence will be back after we connect you to our sponsors.
Are you an affiliate? If yes, you'll pay me. No ifs, ands, or maybes. Get paid daily. Make a mad dash. Sign up as a flash. Quickly convert the clicks into cash. Affiliate marketing network is first place. I cut to the chase. It's all performance based. Listen to what I'm telling you, because this is what you better do. Join as a publisher and maximize your revenue. Think we agreed that money is what you need. Indeed, you can get paid from sales and leads. Not one thing lacking. Don't get it cracking. Even comes with state of the art tracking. Where did it start? You can do it a couple ways. 866-XY7-PAYS. It's toll free. Tell me what you waiting on. So log on to XY7.com.
How do you choose the right affiliate network to partner with? The answer is simple. MarketHealth.com, where health and wealth connect. Established in 1998, the MarketHealth.com affiliate network allows you to market and promote the world's leading health and beauty offers on the net. Start making recurring income and the highest payouts in our industry. Choose from over 50 of the hottest selling offers ranging from herbal supplements, skincare, vitamins, beauty products, weight loss, and much more. Sign up for free at MarketHealth.com and start making money today.
Are you happy with your landing page performance? Discover how to improve your landing page performance with ConversionCritic.com, brought to you by Engine Ready. Turn your underperforming landing pages into cost-effective sales-producing machines. Be sure you're not wasting your precious PPC budget. Conversion Critic tools give you the ingredients to create high-converting landing pages. You don't have to be an expert to use Engine Ready's Conversion Critic tools, but you'll feel like a landing page pro. Take the guesswork out of increasing your conversion rate. Visit ConversionCritic.com and boost your conversion rate for free. That's www.conversioncritic.com.
Please hold while we connect you to one of the most sought-after experts in SEO, analytics, and web development. Office Hours with Vanessa Fox, Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Search Engine Optimization channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Mobilizing your marketing efforts. Welcome back to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are your hosts.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to Mobile Presence on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Cindy Crum of Rank Mobile, and today we're talking to Andy Lustigman, the, in my mind, top mobile marketing attorney available to you. So, Andy, we've been talking about some inquiries that the FCC is doing. We talked about one that dealt with billing, and then one that's dealing with competition and things that are not available in terms of applications and stuff like that. So what was the last inquiry that you had mentioned, something to do with innovation?
Yeah, the last one, and the third prong, is what they're calling the state of research and development in the wireless industry. And in particular, FCC wants to know is really the role of government in stimulating innovation. This is such an important area, technology for the American future. Certainly the Europeans, I think, in many respects are far ahead of the U.S. market here. And they want to know, should the federal government, is there sufficient innovation going on in the private sector, or does the government essentially need to step in and make sufficient efforts to generate further innovation, or are there other things that need to be done to stimulate research and development in the wireless world?
So is that an Obama-specific initiative? Because that sounds like something he would do, and it doesn't so much sound like something Bush would have done.
I truthfully don't know if that's the case. It is something that some Democratic legislators are certainly very interested in, and it does seem consistent with the stimulus plan that the Obama administration continues to push. So I'm sure it's not inconsistent, apparently.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's move on to the FTC. Now, this one sounds really interesting, and I've heard a little bit about this, especially on Twitter and stuff like that. There's some buzz going around about the FTC and guidelines and stuff like that. Why don't you clue us in?
Sure. The Federal Trade Commission has announced what I think is really the most sweeping change governing advertising law, certainly in my lifetime, and that is it's revising the endorsement and testimonial guides. And this is essentially a guide which sets forth the Federal Trade Commission's principles governing the use of endorsements, and that is when somebody endorses a product or a service, and testimonials. I think we're all familiar with testimonials. The last time the FTC revised the guidelines was 1980, well before the internet, and certainly well before mobile and blogs and the like. The revisions, there's two really major components to the change in the guides that I see. The first deals with the disclaimer of typicality. And what do I mean by that? And that is, I'm sure you've seen in any health product or exercise type product, they always show somebody who looks tremendous, you know, after consuming the product or service, and they lost 50 pounds, they lost 30 pounds, whatever it is. And then you'll see underneath a disclosure that'll say something like, results not typical. And that's known as the disclaimer of typicality. And previously, the Federal Trade Commission has said that even though you make a claim in a testimonial, in other words, that the person lost X amount of weight or achieved a certain result with a product or service, you could do that even though the results were not typical of a reasonable consumer if you sufficiently disclaim typicality. Okay, so that even though you're making a claim in a testimonial, you are allowed to do that. The FTC here has said that they're doing away with the safe harbor of the disclaimer of typicality, which is a major, major change. And instead they're saying that if you're going to make a statement in a testimonial, that you need to also affirmatively state what the reasonable consumer would expect. And that's a show in and of itself. The second area that I think is of interest to your listeners is really the use of the social media. And what the FTC is saying here is when there's a material connection between a reviewer and a company, that connection needs to be disclosed. So that if a reviewer was being paid, for example, for the review, that would need to be disclosed. That in and of itself, I don't think anyone would have a problem with. What is really surprising about the guides that came out is that the FTC is drawing a distinction between traditional media and the new media. And they're saying that, for example, if you were to send many companies send products and services out to traditional media to be reviewed. They'll send a book to the New York Times book review people. They'll send fitness products to fitness magazines on down the line. They'll send electronic products to electronic magazines, wanting them to review them, give an honest opinion, not telling them what to say, but allowing them to give a review, have an opportunity to review and give a review. What the Federal Trade Commission is saying here is that's fine. That's a fine practice in terms of traditional media, assuming you're not controlling what they're saying, but the people are allowed to say whatever it is that they want to say. But that if you give a product or service to a new media person, and they talk about specifically a blogger, that the person needs to disclose that they got the product for free. And they say because consumers don't appreciate in the new media that there is that the people would have received the product, but they do appreciate that for traditional media. There's no study or basis or anything for that distinction. It's their supposition, and frankly, I don't see how it passes constitutional muster. I don't see how you can have a distinction between somebody's expression in one media, i.e. Right. in print, and their expression in online. It makes no logical sense to me. In fact, we had submitted comments through the Promotion Marketing Association on this point. But the FTC has come out specifically. They use the specific example of a blogger for a gaming device, and having received the gaming device for free, that they should disclose the connection. Let me just quickly state, from businesses' perspective, I think it's also very troubling because they're saying that by giving the product to the blogger, number one, you need to monitor to make sure that the blogger is making the disclosure, and because there's a connection between the two of you, if the blogger makes a statement about your product that is not true, that you do not have substantiation for, you can be held liable for the blogger's statement, which is unbelievable.
Are you kidding?
No, that's okay. What's potentially out there.
So that's a big area. That's more than I understood about this change. So that's fascinating. But this is a mobile show. So let's give us a really specific tie-in to mobile here. Is this any different for mobile marketers than it is traditional online marketers? Or mobile marketing obviously falls in the new media category, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as people, look, people, there was an article today from the internet, the IAB, and the person talked about how they were going to write a post to Facebook about their status update about a product that they liked, and then they realized that they had gotten it for free and that they would be in violation of. I mean, people post to blogs all the time through mobile devices.
Yeah.
Certainly I post to Facebook through my mobile device, and as people use smartphones and Twitter and the like, can you imagine making these disclosures in 140 characters? I mean, So it's a real challenge, and I cannot see how there is a distinction between the two media, and I think it's a really big mistake on the part of the FTC here.
Right, you obviously feel pretty strongly on this one. Okay, all right, so all fascinating stuff. You are one of my favorite guests, but we have to wrap this up. So what I want you to do is give everyone your details. How can they contact you, especially if they're looking for help in mobile law questions and stuff like that? How do they get in contact with you?
Sure. Check out our website is www.lfirm.com. That's LFIRM.com. Or shoot me an email at andy@lfirm.com, LFIRM.com. Or give us a holler at 212-683-9180.
Oh, wow. And, that's awesome. Okay. I'm not going to give my phone number out.
Cindy, that's the only reason people are listening to the show. You never.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming back to the show. You've been listening to Mobile Presence on webmasterradio.fm, one of my favorite guests, Andy Lustigman. And show airs every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to tune in. Thanks a lot.